rise. That's right, let's go. When the voices arise from the storm and it's storming. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is your boy James, a.k.a. Hollywood J. Black, live in the building once again. And this is the Overtime Sports Show. Live and direct from the Inner Sanctum in Orlando, Florida. You know how we do around this time. Yesterday, we crowned a new World Series champion, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Shout out to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Got to give some claps for them. In the pandemic season, the 60 games, the Los Angeles Dodgers came in, almost could not be here because, listen, Atlanta had them handled. Atlanta took their foot off the gas. So can't nobody say that they didn't earn their way into the World Series. It necessarily earned that World Series. I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, it's the COVID series. There's an asterisk. No, I don't think so. They didn't play majority of the season. You know, there are teams that played the majority of the season, number one team, and got eliminated real fucking quick. So we can't sit here and say, you know, you got to throw an asterisk on the whole season. You can't do that. You really can't do that. That's not fair. That's not fair to anybody that played because everybody's just mad that their team didn't win. Imagine if Tampa Bay would have won. Are we still saying it's an asterisk? Imagine if a team like if the Giants were in and they won or the Marlins or – because if we would have said the Marlins win, we'd be like, God damn it, somebody let them into the playoffs. And every time the playoffs came in, the Marlins win. Hey, they almost went to the championship series. So that actually could have been – a fucking thing, you know? That actually could have been a fucking thing, but it is what it is, you know? We're not going to sit here and be upset about it. This is what sports is. This is what this pandemic bubble sports-ish is. This is what it's come down to. Seasons are shortened, yes, but that doesn't discredit the sport. That doesn't discredit the players. That doesn't discredit anything, really. Do I wish that my team would have won? Yeah, of course I do. We can't get mad and throw an asterisk on it, man. We can't do that. I'm glad that Kershaw finally got over the curse. Finally showed out in the postseason. Mookie Betts is that dude. A leader for years to come. You know he's going to get, I hope, a brother that gets maybe a $200 million, $300, well, maybe $500 million contract. I want to see my man's get a $500 million contract. Mookie, if you get that $500 million contract, I need like, you know, can I get $100, bro? $100? Can I get a little $100? A little hundred, thousand beats, you know what I'm saying? All jokes aside, again, congratulations to the Los Angeles Dodgers for winning the World Series. I'm happy. My neighbor's happy. I know he got blazed up because he's a big LA Dodgers fan. Oh, no, two out. No, that shit loud, goddamn it. I was playing with my phone, my bad. I shouldn't be playing with my phone, but I had to pull out my phone because we need to talk about our next topic and I needed to grab some information off of said phone. So this is a Hollywood report. So now we got to get on to the Hollywood Report. Now, you know what? I started out this week and I was just like, I don't know what I'm going to talk about this week. I really tried to look for a topic to just discuss. I sat here and said, Hollywood, what the fuck are we going to talk about this week? What's going to be the grand discussion in sports? We've already done the World Series. We've talked about NHL. We've talked about the bubble. We've talked about the LeBron's legacy and what it means to NBA basketball. We've talked about the comeback. It's not a lot of our Hollywood reports that we can do. And then just something fell on my lap. So recently, well, actually, I wouldn't say last night, a little thing popped up last night, a meme popped up, and the meme said, it was from Kevin Durant. It was a Kevin Durant quote talking about the rings. Give me a second. I'm gonna pull it up. I believe it was one of the Facebook groups. I want to see if I can find it. Give me a second. I know I'm taking so long. I'm so sorry. Maybe it wasn't this one. Maybe it wasn't this Facebook group, but it was a group. It was a Facebook group. And the statement was made by Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant had said something along the lines of that everybody considers LeBron the GOAT, yet I beat the GOAT twice. What does that make me? Oh, I know what it was. Yes, it was my favorite group. Black Adam Schefter. That's what it was. So now I'm pulling up. Give me a second here. See, I want to say it was Black Adam Schefter. Let's go back. Yeah, but that statement was made. So when we in hindsight, here it is. Here we go. People try to discredit my rings. But honestly, I feel like they're the most valuable of our era. People argue LeBron James is the GOAT, but if I beat him in back-to-back finals, then what does that make me? That was Kevin Durant via the ETC podcast. Okay? So, of course, the argument that goes along with this is that Kevin Durant joined a 73-9 Warriors team. Okay? He joined a team that was already pre-built to win an NBA championship, and by some miracle of mercy, they lost to LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers in seven games. A lot of will say that LeBron complained to the referees about Draymond, which got him suspended, and then that threw off all the momentum that Golden State had. That's the ongoing theory, but then you can't explain the other two games. I find that one hilarious. So I think about this and I said, let's take this back. I want to figure out how did LeBron James will himself into that seven game win? And since we're off the heels of, you know, great comebacks, how LeBron James will himself into that 3-1 win? And then how, because that victory changed the landscape of the NBA. Because had LeBron not won, had LeBron not beat Golden State, their 73-9 team, I would seriously be considering that we're talking about, I mean, the Warriors are technically considered a dynasty, but are they still a dynasty without Kevin Durant? But what I can also say is that Kevin Durant probably wouldn't have left Oklahoma City to go to Golden State, because Golden State wouldn't have had a need, because they said, well, we can beat the GOAT in the finals. We don't need Kevin Durant. So the goal of what I'm trying to do is try to figure out, what did the Cavaliers do differently from games 1 through 4 and then games 5 through 7? Now, my little journey took me on to a deep, dark, dark, deep, dark place. Let me see if I can pull this one up. There we go. So it took me into a weird place. Now, this place where it took us was some interesting stats occurred. So in games 1 through 4, and it was one game in particular. Let me pull up the 2016. There we go. So I'm going to pull up these stats real quick. And it's hilarious how this went. So we're talking about the 73-9 Warriors. I'm going to pull up the playoff series against the Cleveland Cavaliers, okay? So let's go to game 3, which was the first game in Cleveland. Okay. Actually, no, let's look at the big loss, the 110-77 loss in game 2. That was a game where Kevin Love played only about 20 minutes. LeBron played 33. J.R. Smith played 33. Kyrie played 33. Kevin Love played 20 minutes. Tristan Thompson played 9. Richard Jefferson played 26. Iman Shumpert played 19. Dellavedova, Timofey Mozgov played about 16 and 12 respectively. Rest of the team, James Jones, Mo Williams, Dante Jones, Channing Frye played less than 10 minutes, okay? So in that whole dealio, that game too, they could not get a rebound for nothing. LeBron James led with 8 rebounds in that specific game, 9 assists, 4 steals, a block. LeBron dropped how many points? 19 points. Defensively, they were very stout in that game 2 game. Okay? So now, there's a thing on here on basketballreference.com. I think you guys really should check out. They have a little section called 4 Factors, which is the game pacing, which is always a good factor. The field goal, I guess the earned field goal percentage. There's the turnover percentage, offensive rebound percentage, a field goal, free throw, the field goal attempts, and then an offensive rating. So in game 2, in that huge blowout, of course, you can expect that the field goal percentage is high. Okay, Golden State was hitting their shots. They led that game in offensive rebounds by a significant number. They were on the offensive boards. But a thing starts being told when you start look at it. Their turnover percentage was a lot higher. Their turnovers per possession were a lot higher. And their field goals, the free throw to field goal attempts were low. It means they weren't getting to the line. It means every shot that they had, that they basically had to earn. Listen to understand why that's important. Okay, notice it's game 2. So then we go into game 3. We go do the 4 factors again. So Golden State still had a high turnover percentage, around 17-18%. They didn't hit their shots like they normally do. Matter of fact, Cleveland hit. Their earned field goal percentage was about 60% of their shots. They were crashing the offensive boards, but Cleveland was not getting to the line. This was the 30-point loss, which was like, oh boy, now this is becoming a series. And their offensive rating was a 128 compared to a 96, and they were at a 93.7 pace. In that specific game, LeBron James went 14-26. He dropped 32. Kyrie dropped 30. J.R. Smith dropped 20. And interesting enough, Kevin Love was out for this game. He didn't play in game 3. So now we go into game 4, which was the big, well, not even a big loss. It was the Cleveland was coming a little bit closer into edging up on Golden State. Draymond played 42 minutes. Harrison Barnes played 40 minutes. Stephen Curry played 39. Klay Thompson played 39. Maurice Bates played 6 seconds in that game. Andrew Bogut played 10 minutes. Klay Thompson played 39. But then we come to the Cavs in that game. LeBron played 45 out of 48. JR played 43 out of 48. Kyrie played 42. Tristan Thompson played 28. Richard Jefferson played 24. Kevin Love played 25. The points, respectively, 25, 10, 34. Tristan Thompson at 10, 3. Kevin Love had 11 points. So they were really winning in spite of Kevin Love being this allegedly amazing player at this time that they – this is the second year that he was on Cleveland. That's something that we got to consider and think about. But now we get to the three games. Now we get to the meat and potatoes, the three-game streak where LeBron wins. First win by 15 points in the Oracle. We had LeBron go 16 for 30, and then we go back to the four factors what I was telling you about. Golden State mitigated the turnovers, but barely by a tenth of a percentage. It was still high, and the pace was higher. Cleveland was running in this particular game now. The earned field goal percentage, Cleveland was hitting their shots. Golden State was crashing those offensive boards. Golden State was getting to the line, but their offensive rating was shit because they weren't hitting shots, which meant Cleveland's rating was significantly higher. Now, the change in this one was Kevin Love actually getting the ball to shoot. He only had 2 points. He only had 5 shots, though. That's kind of where we got to look at that. He didn't even get to the free throw line. So LeBron dropped 41. Kyrie dropped 41. Both men in the zone. Tristan Thompson clearing the boards. And all they really played was Shumpert and Jefferson. Dellavedova for only for like 3 minutes. They start reducing the bench time of the time of the bench players that really start becoming an actual thing. Also in this one, they thought they were going to close this one out. Iguodala played more minutes than anybody. He started this game, in fact. Draymond was out. He was suspended for that game. He started the game. But Harrison Barnes going 2 for 14 didn't do Golden State any better, and going 1 for 6 from three. Stephen Curry going 8 for 21 didn't do him any favors either. Yes, they went 5 for 15 from 3-point line, but that's a lot of shots that you're just not hitting from 3-point. So that's that. And then we go into game 6. And show the four factors. Cleveland led in all four factors: earned field goal percentage, turnover percentage. They had the least amount of turnovers, offensive rebounds, and field goal and free throw attempts. And they won that game by 14. Draymond played 40 minutes, 3 for 7. Klay Thompson 9 for 21. Steph Curry 8 for 20. Harrison Barnes 0 for 8. 0 for 5 from 3-point line. Imagine being tasked with having to hit your shot and still have to fight against LeBron. And Harrison Barnes had that debilitating injury that year, too. So the year prior. So let's not forget about that. But that's game 6. And then, of course, they played a few people: Livingston, Barbosa, Azili, a bunch of dudes that really didn't matter, Maurice Spates, blah, blah, blah. Draymond only had 10. He had 10 rebounds. He didn't even have a double-double. But LeBron had 41. Kyrie had 23. J.R. Smith had 14. Kevin Love had 7 points. Only 7 points in that whole type of deal. So they defensively got tired. They forced guys like Harrison Barnes to try and beat you with outside shots and see if he can hit threes. That's kind of where this went. if you look at it, because two games in a row, they had Harrison Barnes out there shooting threes, trying to make that man shoot a shot. And he couldn't shoot for shit. Now we go into game seven. And the plan that they had worked out was coming to fruition. Harrison Barnes was made it so that he lost confidence in his three-point shot. So he didn't take three-point shots, but that shot still affected him inside the three-point line, 3 of 10. Draymond Green actually balled the fuck out, 11 of 15. Draymond Green actually put up a hell of a performance, a straight double-double performance, 32 points. Draymond was in the zone. It's Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson that ran out of gas. Stephen Curry, 4 for 14 from three-point line. Klay Thompson, 2 of 10. 6 of 19 total for Sir Steph, 6 of 17 total. That means he was 2 for 5 from inside the three-point line. See, and this is the problem. And this is it right here. You look at this. The fact that Draymond was their leading scorer in Game 7. The fact that Klay Thompson could not hit shots. That Steph Curry could not hit shots. That Harrison Barnes could not hit shots. And then Iguodala in the depth lineup had to come off the bench. And Iguodala could not hit shots. We ask ourselves, like, is this – I mean, where are we at? Where are we at with this one? What – I'm looking at it, and I'm going – The plan worked. Harrison Barnes lost all confidence in whatever he had to do offensively. We all know that Harrison Barnes was not going to stop LeBron James defensively. We knew that this was going to be true. We knew that this was, you know, once you mix the one in with the other, you kind of just assume what was going to happen. And LeBron simply wills his way to victory. So the perfect strategy, they eliminated Harrison Barnes completely. They forced Golden State to beat them with the three ball. Forced them to. And they weren't hitting their shots. Draymond Green grinded. He was hitting his shots. He didn't shoot many three-point shots. But he was in there in the paint, grinding 11-15, getting to the free throw line, doing what he needed to do. And yet and still, because of the defensive mindsets of Cleveland forcing Golden State to beat them with that three-point shot, and after Golden State already came back from 3-1, they didn't have any more gas left in them. Golden State had no energy, no focus, nothing. So if Kevin Durant, if Golden State wins this series, let's say in 4 or 5, this changes everything. I think it changes a lot of things, but I wonder if it changes where Kevin Durant goes. Could Kevin Durant have gone to Houston, joined up with James Harden because he knows that he's a better player than Westbrook? Does he go join up with that squad, the D'Antoni squad? Imagine D'Antoni and James Harden. I'm sorry, yeah, imagine D'Antoni, James Harden, Kevin Durant running that fast-paced offense. You want Kevin Durant shooting the lights out and not having to worry about defense? That could have actually been a thing. That could have actually been a real, real life situation. Yet and still, that didn't happen. Cleveland wins. So then Golden State says, listen, their defensive strategy won. Their defensive strategy was perfect for what they did and stopped them the last three games. And actually, in and of itself, is the same blueprint of a strategy that Milwaukee had implemented in the season. Remember the first game of the season that they lost against Milwaukee? Remember they got caught in that trap game in Boston and they ended up losing to the Bucks. The Bucks kind of implemented the same strategy The difference is they had a freak of the Bucks have a freak of their own by Giannis Antetokounmpo. And so they made him work for everything. And they realized that Golden State just might not be able to beat you with that. Also, the same situation happened. Same exact situation happened when Oklahoma City went up 3-1. They dared Golden State to beat them with the ball. And if you don't believe me, let's check this. Let's go back. I'm going to show you. Let's go back to when they went up 3-1. Oklahoma City won by 24. They dared them beat with that three ball. Stephen Curry, 2 of 10. Klay Thompson, 4 of 11. Harrison Barnes, he didn't even shoot barely as much in that series. But they dared him to beat him with the three ball, and Golden State failed. And Kevin Durant came in, balled out. Westbrook balled out. Andre Roberson balled out. Ibaka balled out. And you just look at it. You just sit there like, I mean, the problem is that when Golden State's on fire, they're on fire. But if they're not, and you can hit shots and break them down, they are who they fail miserably. That's the unfortunate part about my Golden State Warriors. So now we get to this. We know Kevin Durant is balling. We know Kevin Durant is doing his thing. He knows that he's unhappy in Oklahoma City. So the question is, and I'll ask this question to the working class people. If you're working for Joe's construction company as a window person, okay, and you're the number one, number five or number six window person in the entire country, and Dave's Window is the number one window company in the entire country, and you know that if you go to Dave's, that you want to get the recognition that you deserve because you've are done carrying people at your job and carrying the company, what would you do? Would you go to Dave's? Joe's is only good at number five, and you're trying to be number one. Where you going to go to Dave's, right? Especially if Dave's is paying you money. And Dave's is going to make you known as one of the best ever, especially if you are good at your job. They're going to give you exposure, everything that you need to be great. Nine out of ten of you be like, I'm going to Dave's. That one person out of principle is going to disagree, and I'm fine with that. You can disagree, but that's the reality. Everybody's going to go. They're not going to go to a failing company and make them better, okay? Unless the opportunity presents itself and the right people are in place. We're talking about 2016 NBA here. And now that I look at it, let's go to 2016 NBA. Why don't we, right? Let's see what 2016 NBA looked like. Let's see. So 2016 NBA had Boston as the king of the world. Better than Cleveland, oddly enough. Spurs were still rulers of the world in the West. He had the Rockets, the Clippers, the Jazz, the Thunder, the Grizzlies, the Blazers. Thunder still made the playoffs. So you tell me who Kevin Durant joins. I don't see anybody that he's outside of going with Harden, which, again, had Golden State won, I really believe that's probably where Kevin Durant would have went. And they would have made that deal happen. Either that or maybe possibly Portland and join up with Dame Dollar. Imagine a Dame Dollar Kevin Durant thing. But I think it would kind of be the same as the Dame Dollar, the whole Dame Dollar, scenario that we have now. It doesn't help that Dame Lillard said we don't want stars here. So where is he going to go? Is he going to go to Denver? No. New Orleans with Anthony Davis? No. Dallas? No. Sacramento? No. Minnesota? No. Lakers? That Lakers? That Kobe Bryant is still in charge Lakers? No. Phoenix Suns? No. Clippers? No. Let's go to the East. Nets? No. The 16 Sixers? No. Magic? No. Knicks? No. Hornets? No. Pistons? No. Heat? No. Bulls? No. Pacers? No. Bucks? No. They already had Giannis. Hawks? That time? I think he probably would have made the playoffs with the Hawks, and then that team that they had was still eliminated. No. Raptors? No. Wizards? No. Cleveland? No. Celtics? No. No, none of it. Maybe the Celtics, but they didn't have the money to do it. So that really left either going back to Oklahoma City, going to Houston, or going to Golden State. And let's really, really be honest with ourselves. If you want a championship, there's only one place that you're going to go. If your goal is to become an NBA champion and be at the best of your very best, there's only one place you go, and that was Golden State. People are going to be mad about it. People are going to be upset. People are going to call him a snake. They're going to do this, this, and that. And I don't care. I don't care. Why? Because, again, if you had an employment opportunity to be with the best company in your industry, are you going to say, no, I'm going to go with my scrub company? No. Especially if you know you're not going to go anywhere professionally. Don't give me that BS. You're going to go with the team or go with the company that promises you short-term and eventually long-term success. And that's what Kevin Durant did. It basically guaranteed him a spot in at least the NBA Finals. It gave him a competitive team to go against LeBron. And let's be honest, there's only a few people, a very, very minuscule, small list of people that can go against LeBron James. That's Kawhi Leonard, Giannis to a point, and your boy Kobe went at prime Kobe, and Kevin Durant. That's it. That's the list. There's no more list past it. That's it. That's it. And so, again, is Kevin Durant right in this point? Mildly. As much as I agree with some of what Kevin Durant says, that he beat what you call him and he's the GOAT. And if we compare apples to apples, especially if you considered that the Cavaliers won in spite of Kevin Love, the Warriors would have been a more powerful team if you even take out Draymond Green, they were a better team. Adding Draymond Green doing all the dirty work, the Golden State Warriors are the most unstoppable team in the NBA, and the only thing that stopped them was injuries to their three stars. That's it. And the same thing that stopped them this year, their three stars. So it took a GOAT team to beat a GOAT. Had Kevin Durant not joined the Golden State Warriors, I got some bad news, y'all. We might be talking about Cleveland being three-time NBA championship, three-peating. Three-peating. As much as it pains me to say this as a Warriors fan, there would have been nothing that we could have done and nobody that we would have been able to sign that would have been able to stop LeBron James. Point blank, period. Write it down, book it, and you can quote me on that. There is not a player alive that if we didn't sign Kevin Durant would have stopped LeBron James from winning three championships. And that's it. That's how it goes. It's Kevin Durant, take your trophies. I don't call you the GOAT, but you have a valid point in the GOAT conversation because really, at your position, there's nobody touching you. You're 6'9", you're a freak of nature. Ain't nobody stopping your shot. And no, it's like Anthony Davis. Y'all some freaks of nature, but we love it, and that's what it's all about. All right, so next, after the promo, after the ads, after we pay some bills, we're getting right into the Week 7 NFL fallout right here on the Overtime Sports Show. pay the bills. You already know what time it is. We're a little bit early, but it's okay, because it's time for that damn NFL show and that week 7 NFL fallout. Woo! Thank you for joining us this evening. Welcome to the Overtime Sports Show, but not any sports show, that damn NFL show that keeps bugging you, hitting your timeline like, what the fuck is this? That's right. It's that damn NFL show.
Hitting y'all groups like, this shit don't belong here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you don't belong here. What the hell is this? This damn NFL show keeps popping up. You goddamn right. It's that damn NFL show. I'm your boy, Hollywood J. Black. That's my man, Big Sin, over there. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. You know, it's just another day in fucking paradise.
Yes. It's paradise indeed. Except for a few teams that thought shit was sweet this weekend. Everybody thought they was going to cruise to some easy victories. And then reality set in for a few teams. A couple other teams that were struggling, trying to find their way, actually found their way. And we also had some good games this weekend, too. Even one particular shootout that I called this weekend. And we'll talk about that later. But Big Sid, what's going on?
So our weekly record this week, I went 10-4. You went 11-3.
That's right. You know how we do. That would be enough to win a Super Bowl if you're in the NFC East, okay? Because
yeah, you go to the Hall of Fame if you're in the NFC East.
Hey, listen, the NFC East has stooped to new lows this past weekend. Lows that I couldn't even imagine that these lows could be reached. But you know what? The Cowboys just had to reach deep, dig deep for that low. And they dug deep. And when they dug deep, man, they dug deep. So let's not waste the people's time. Let's get right to it. What's the first game on the docket, sir?
All right, we had the Panthers drop a game to the Saints.
And the game was a really, really good game. No doubt about that. I believe, see, to me, when I saw this game, I was like, I think we talked about it. We had some worries, had some concerns. Drew Brees had no receivers.
But he was at home, like I said.
Huh?
I said, but he was at home, like I said.
Yeah, and Teddy Bridgewater gave him a fight. The Panther squad gave him a fight. But at the end of the day, just fell a little bit short. But we have to ask ourselves now. I think we're seven weeks in. Did the Panthers already have their bye week? What's the Panthers' record now? It's like 3-4.
Yes.
Okay. So they signed Teddy Bridgewater. I still don't know any receivers that are in Carolina. So I still have to
Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore.
DJ Moore. Okay. So. This homegrown little squad, which seems like they're an 8-8 ball team right now, especially with Mike Davis running the ball as effectively as he is. This is the pure 8-8 squad. Do you think that the Teddy Bridgewater investment at this point was probably the best decision Carolina ever made? Could they have went another way? Or do you think how this offense fits, it's Teddy Bridgewater?
They really didn't differ their offense that much from the Cam Newton days. And with Kyle Allen, he's less fucking mobile than Teddy is. Teddy's doing what he can with what they have. Still no Christian McCaffrey. I think he comes back this week or next. So then we might be able to see this team at full strength for the first time this year.
Yeah.
They're young. Robbie Anderson was an all-pro in New York.
Yeah.
All pro in Carolina now. The dude is that dude. DJ Moore is a solid player.
Mm-hmm.
But
they got holes.
It was the Saints. The Panthers defense is not great.
Well, they just cut Eli Apple. We just saw that this morning.
Look, the Eli Apple, I think, has only played one game this season.
Well, even when he came back this past weekend, he got fucking torched.
Yeah.
Several times. I think he's part of the reason why they lost. If you don't have no Michael Thomas and you still can't recover a guy that's probably ranked 67 in Madden, you got some fucking problems. I'm sorry.
You got no Michael Thomas, no Emmanuel Sanders.
Nope. Exactly. You're getting torched by the fifth stringer. Come on now. Let's really be real. I'm sorry. Bill Belichick wouldn't have had that shit. That nigga would have been cut in training camp. You're getting burnt by Julian Edelman? Nigga, get the fuck out of here, nigga. Bitch ass, nigga. The fuck?
Is that disrespectful to Julian Edelman?
No, but God damn it, you're supposed to be Eli fucking Apple, okay?
Eli Apple hasn't been shit since he's come to the league.
That's not the point, okay? The point is,
every fucking team he's played for.
The point is that Eli Apple, you poke with a stick and be like, come on, do something.
Including he played for this fucking Saints team.
What's that? Come on, do something.
No. Cover
someone.
He is the Xbox Series X of the NFL.
No, the Xbox Series S of the NFL, okay? He's not even 4K. He's like 2K. There you go. 1080p, bitch.
They still have no launch games. Anyway. All right, so next up, one team gave my Patriots a little bit of hope this week because the Buffalo Bills struggled with the New York Jets.
Oh, and when we say struggle, the defense was there. They played football. The offense, on the other hand, I've never seen the Jets defense actually this good, all this good this whole entire season. All of a sudden, they show up for Buffalo. But remember, this is a conversation that we had where we said that we was like, listen, these division games, for some reason, people show up. You know, when they got to play them twice a year because they know them. But I was worried. You're right. That is kind of a reprieve because you're like, wait a minute. Because even if the Patriots and the Dolphins didn't play this week, they learned something from the front runner Buffalo Bills and learned how to stop and learned how the Jets do it. Granted, Miami has better personnel than the Jets. And New England has way better personnel than the Jets. So definitely there's something to be learned about this game that just happened. It was a good job that Buffalo won, but it's like, jeesh.
That gives me hope for what's going to happen this Sunday when Buffalo and New England take the field.
Yes, which is which
Josh
is definitely...
Allen did not play very Josh Wykovic-like. I mean, he did in the end make the throws, made the runs. He did what he had to do. But they struggled.
Very much so. And I was worried. I was like, wait a minute. Is this shit going to work? Is this going to be like, you know, okay? We're going to be all right? Like,
well, you got to think about it, too. They also came off of getting their asses kicked by the Titans, then getting their asses kicked by the Chiefs.
Well, remember I said it. I said Buffalo had to win this game. They came off of two heartbreakers. And so... This was a necessary victory. Like, if they didn't win, just like we said, if they didn't win this game, this is going to be a problem, especially if you lose to the Jets and you need to try to get up on New England, because New England was 3-3 coming into this game.
No, we were 2-3 going into the game.
Well, 2-3. They're 2-3 going to week 7. You don't want New England catching up to you, because if Bill Belichick catches up to you, he's not going to let go. He's like a damn leech. He's just not – gonna fucking let go. But shout out to the Jets for staying relevant.
Trying.
Yes. At least you tried award. They get the at least you tried award.
All right. Next up we have, the Cincinnati Bengals got a big early, but then Baker Mayfield showed why he dominates that team.
So we've learned two things, okay? One, like I said, every time the Bengals and the Browns play, it's a fucking shootout, regardless of how good or how bad the quarterbacks and the defenses on each side are. I think they like to put up points for Ohio. I think it's the Ohio State effect, you know, where they just put up points for no reason because they're in Ohio.
It said PFO, PFO, points for Ohio.
Points for Ohio. The second thing that I learned is that Baker Mayfield is a better quarterback when he doesn't have to feed the ball to Odell Beckham Jr.
Well, when Odell Beckham Jr., unfortunately, towards ACL, he's out for the season.
Yeah.
Let's also not forget they are missing Nick Chubb still.
Yeah. But Kareem Hunt did okay in his stead, but it was Baker Mayfield distributing the ball in a way and the defense hunkering down in the second half that actually made this a fucking game. I think Stephen A. Smith had said this before, that the Browns are winning in spite of Baker Mayfield. They're not winning because of Baker Mayfield.
Well, he has 5 touchdowns this week. So, yes, this was because of Baker Mayfield this week.
Well, it was this time, okay?
Including that dart in the end zone with 15 seconds to go that won the game?
Yeah.
That was a throw that not every quarterback can make.
So, that's what I'm saying. So, but that's why I said that Baker Mayfield is a better quarterback when he doesn't have to throw it to Odell Beckham Jr. Remember, he didn't have Odell Beckham Jr. the year that they went 7-3 in the last 6 games of the – oh, no, I think he went 7-4, 7-5 the last games of the season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's – I think I've been saying this, though. Every time that Baker Mayfield doesn't have Odell Beckham Jr., and he's not trying to force the plays – around Odell Beckham Jr., he's a better quarterback because he gets everybody involved. But listen, Joe Burrow is a bona fide, is a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that, okay?
poor Macaulay Culkin.
Unfortunately, he doesn't have any weapons. Like, he just...
Like, A.J. Green had a decent game, but he's not entirely healthy.
No, not at all.
Joe Mixon is just doing what Joe Mixon does. That kid is playing. He is earning that number one pick. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, he is.
And the funny part is now I see that Trevor Lawrence is thinking about staying in college one more year so he doesn't get picked by the Jets.
There was a picture of DK, DK Metcalf, when he caught up to old boy on the Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm. The dude on the Cardinals is Trevor Lawrence, and then DK Metcalf was the number one pick. The Jets try to get the number one pick. I say
Eli Manning calling that man right now. Do what I did. Don't go there.
Yeah. Now, who's this Higgins dude? This Higgins dude balled out with Odell Beckham out.
I think he's a tight end.
I think so. Oh, no, Njoku's the tight end. Or it might be the other tight end.
No, remember, Njoku's been hurt.
Well, he played. He played this. He got a touchdown.
Oh, okay.
But Higgins balled out. The dude Bryant had 2 touchdowns. Some dude named Peoples Jones had a touchdown. See, look at it. Let's talk about ball distribution, okay? With Odell Beckham out, some dude named Higgins pops up, 6 catches, 110 yards. H. Bryant, 4 catches, 56 yards. Peoples Jones, 3 catches, 56. Jarvis Landry, 5 catches, 48 in the slot. Kareem Hunt had 3 catches for 26 dogs. Njoku, 2 catches, 20 yards. Beckham had targets, but no catches. He had the triple zero, no catches. No yards and no games left for the rest of the year, the triple zero. But get well soon, Odell, because you're not going to be on the Browns next year. Anyways, so shout out to the Cleveland Browns. But goddamn, Joe Burrow, 406, 3 touchdowns and a pick. Jesus. You know who failed the Bengals, though? Their whole entire running game because they had none. That's just what it was. There you go. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You're allowed. All
right. So the next game consisted of the home team using a picture from the Arizona Cardinals Cowboys game on their Tron to diss the Cowboys. And then they proceeded to kill Andy Dalton. And now the Cowboys' starting quarterback is a man named Ben DiNucci.
Andy Dalton died. You know what's messed up about that hit? That hit was, first and foremost, that hit was dirty. You saw that hit?
Yeah.
That hit was dirty, dude. And I feel bad for Andy Dalton. He didn't deserve to die, bro. Like, he didn't. Why are you going to kill Andy? They killed the Red Rocket, bro. What the fuck?
You wouldn't know what happened?
What?
Motherfucker challenged his inner fucking, who's that dude that used to play for the fucking Bengals? The headhunter. Linebacker.
For the Bengals? You talking about what's his name?
Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah, Vontae.
He channeled his inner Vontaze Burfict and took out frustration on Andy Dalton from all those playoff losses.
Jeez. So now I know two things. One, Josh McCown is probably going to get a call soon. Yeah, I know he retired, but he just might get a call. Either that or fucking Kyle Orton might just pop up out of fucking nowhere.
No, the rumors are right now with the Dolphins moving to Tua Tagovailoa. Cowboys are reportedly putting a package together to send to Miami for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
The Cowboys, what is their record? Have they played 7 games yet?
They are 1-5, I do believe.
No, 2-5. So they played 7. So they got a bye week. I believe that it's either this week or next week that they desperately fucking need.
Ben DiNucci.
Listen.
And he's being backed up by a guy named Clayton Thorson.
Yikes. This is all bad. Dude, Mike McCarthy's going to end up getting fired, bro, by the end of this season. This is all. How the whole entire division going to be 2-5 except for the Giants, which are what, 1-6? Jesus fucking Christ, bro.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, the Eagles are 2-4-1 because, yeah. Hi, my name is Doug Peterson, and we did not lose to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Best decision they made.
That's the only fucking reason why they're in this shit. Oh, my God. They're the only reason why they're number one in the division now, because they're like, shit. Oh, my God.
So the Cowboys are a dumpster fire that just needs to be put out of its misery now. Like, COVID just needs to take down the whole team. The Cowboys need to cancel their season, or else more of their players are going to end up on IR.
Bruh, this shit would have never happened under Jason Garrett. Yeah, it would. They probably still have a losing record, but they'd have some fucking spine, bro. Jeez.
And they'd have somebody clapping all the time.
Yeah, they'd have at least some cheering, right? Mike McCarthy just sitting there with his mask on. I'm going to get fired. This is bullshit. I just wanted to prove I was a better coach than Aaron Rodgers said I was.
Mike McCarthy, you had Aaron Rodgers and plenty of Hall of Famers on that Packers team, and he still only mustered one Super Bowl.
Listen, how many running backs did they have? He ruined Eddie Lacy, bro. How do you ruin Eddie Lacy?
Mike McCarthy and Chinese food ruined Eddie Lacy. Let's be honest. Let's give blame to both.
It was a healthy combination of both. And when I said healthy, I'm talking about the portions. Anyways.
So there's really not much to talk about this game. They made Kyle Allen look like a star.
I really wish the Cowboys would have stomped Kyle Allen to oblivion.
So we'd have an
excuse to bring in Alex Smith. But now, see how the Cowboys can really fuck something up? This is the problem. This was a perfect opportunity to be like, you know what? Kyle Allen's trash. Then let's prove it. No. Instead, they said, you know what? Kyle Allen, we're going to make you the MV fucking P. Kyle Allen went 15 to 25 for 194, 2 interceptions. Gibson, the running back, it was Anthony Gibson, 20 carries, 128 yards. We should have known this game was a clusterfuck when it started out with a safety.
So even with Andy Dalton, the Cowboys do not look good. That team needs to blow it up. Ezekiel Elliott's been fumbling. He ain't even trying anymore. Fuck it.
I'm just like, listen, you're not wrong. You are 100% not wrong on this one. God, like, I don't even, there's not even a saving grace to the fucking Cowboys. Like, I would be like, they're going to accidentally make the playoffs, aren't they? With a 2-14 record.
Don't even say that.
They're going to win one game against the Eagles, when they both have two wins and that win's going to propel them into the playoffs, isn't it?
No, no, they're not. Stop talking shit because maybe the Giants are still in a division.
The Cowboys are gonna tie twice with somebody. That's what the fuck this shit's gonna fuck this whole
thing up. So before he starts filling people's heads, Cowboys fans' heads with hope, let's move on to the next game. The Green Bay Packers beat the Houston Texans.
Here, would you like to hear something hilarious about that one? So I have a guy that that provides me lineups on the for FanDuel, right?
Yeah, I know.
So this man provided me with his lineup had a whole stack of Houston Texans players, and I'm looking at him like, really, really, this is what we're gonna do? Like, bro, this is not gonna end up good. Didn't we call the Packers on this one? I said this isn't gonna end up good. It's not. I said we're talking about the team with the number one. Like, no, at least no, number five pad defense in the NFL. This is not going to go good. He said, just trust me.
The Texans made it a game late.
Listen. No. I said, I'm going to replace your boy with Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to replace all these Texans players with Packers players. And I guarantee you, I win before you do. He just gave me a free subscription for the week because I was right.
No, anybody in their right mind did not pick the Texans in this game. They were getting an angry Green Bay team who just got embarrassed by Tampa Bay. And the Texans don't even have a coach. They got a defensive coordinator playing coach right now.
And he wasn't doing any – neither. He wasn't coordinating defense or coaching. I just wonder
if that was like that legacy hire. They just keep him around because they don't want to make him retire yet.
Fucking NFL coaches minimum and shit. We'll just pay him tax write-off. It's cool. No big deal. Fuck it.
Yeah, the Packers won this game. Like I said, they dominated early. The Texans, in garbage time, put up some numbers, but not enough.
Devontae Adams put up 13 catches for 196, two touchdowns, and I believe that was like by the beginning of the third quarter, that was a stat line.
Coming off of an injury to his leg, yes.
Jesus fucking Christ, I feel so bad for Deshaun Watson. And all right, so on paper, if I told you Deshaun Watson went 29-39 for 309 and two touchdowns, you would think to yourself, yeah, Deshaun Watson had a pretty decent game.
No, I would think to myself, garbage time.
Well, if you only just saw it on paper, if you didn't see the score and how exactly played out, okay? If you just looked at the stat line, you'd be like, you know, those are some decent third-string Pro Bowl numbers. That's you know what I'm saying? He's going to make the Pro Bowl. And then you're like, oh, he put all those stats up in the third and fourth quarter. Oh, and Duke Johnson only had 3 yards of carry? Oh.
You mean David Johnson?
Yeah, whoever the fuck his name is. And Deshaun Watson had more yards per carry than David Johnson? Oh.
Are you surprised?
Oh. And Randall Cobb had 8 catches to 95 yards and no touchdowns? Oh. Oh. And the running back was only one of two receivers that had a touchdown? Oh. Oh.
So next up we have... Next up, we have a game that we both lost because we believed in the Falcons. The Detroit Lions beat the Atlanta Falcons.
Hey, we were almost right.
Matt Patricia saves his job once again.
We were almost right because the Falcons were up 14-10.
Mm-hmm. All Todd Gurley had to do was not score a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Listen, this is the problem. You know why it's cut. Let's be real. You know why Todd Gurley scored that touchdown? The contract. He has incentives he got to reach, okay? We know
it's
this.
Funny, it's funny because he laid down on the 1 yard line and accidentally rolled the wrong way.
Accidentally secured his yearly bonus for the year. Accidentally.
He's like, man, we ain't going to the playoffs. I'm going to get paid. Hold on.
I'm going to get mine.
Not much to talk about this game. The Lions were down. The Falcons were down. Todd Gurley scored a touchdown when he shouldn't have, giving the ball back to Detroit, and Atlanta's defense was already gassed, and Matt Stafford just took Detroit right down the field and scored and won the game.
Oh, my God.
Is that pretty much a good assessment of that?
You fucking nailed it. I just sit here and look at myself. The Falcons blew another lead.
At least it wasn't 10 points this time.
Shit. 4 points is close enough, because fuck. No, they blew it. They blew a 5-point lead because they lost by one.
So next up, the game of the week, we had the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Tennessee Titans in a – it was a rout to begin with. Then the Titans got on track, but not enough to beat Pittsburgh.
No, and I said – remember, I said that Pittsburgh looked like this complete Super Bowl team. By the time it was all said and done, they came up with the right stand at the end of the game to secure it. But let me tell you, just like we said in the game as well – Tennessee is no slouch. I think 9 times out of 10, we play this game, we're going to go – well, if we had to play this 10 times, it's going to go 5-5.
Yeah, they're very equally matched.
Yeah. And listen, Vrabel frustrated the fuck out of Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger had 268 and 2 touchdowns, but he also had 3 fucking picks.
Yep.
And
Malcolm Butler has been showing up this year.
You damn right. Like, listen, they is not playing. The crazy part about it is, it's not like they weren't running the ball, because, I mean, Roethlisberger passed it damn near 50 times. Mm-hmm. But James Conner had 20 carries, which that's about as much.
There's a lot of offense in this game.
A lot, which is, you know, for two defensive teams.
And they held Derrick Henry under 100 yards, which is no easy feat.
No. But shit, he had a touchdown, and Tannehill only had 220 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. Hollywood Brown had the game of the week, with 6 catches for 153 and a touchdown.
I told you about that, man.
Yeah, I know.
AB's little brother is a baller.
Yeah. Like I said, you play this game 10 out of 10 times, they go 5-5. These teams are just about as evenly matched. I would really like to see, outside of maybe a Pittsburgh-Kansas City match or a rematch of Kansas City-Tennessee, I would like to see these two teams go at it in the AFC Championship.
Yeah, same.
I know you want your Patriots in there, but I'm like, listen, if that doesn't happen, I want these two dudes to play a game, these two teams to play a game just like they played before, and I want to see how it plays out.
All right, so next up we have another curb stomp. The Kansas City Chiefs went to Denver and shattered their life.
We talked about this one and how you tried to convince me that the Broncos were going to do it. And I said that they just might, but, man, listen.
And I still picked the Chiefs.
Yeah. Still picked the Chiefs. I just like there's no way. Not one of the ways. Drew Lock. Damn. Hold on. All right. 17 plus 9 is 26. Plus 3 is 29. Plus the 30. So we're not going to count Drew Lock's 3 carries. So they had 70 plays on – no, 73 plays on offense?
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
Because Kansas City was marching down the field and scoring at will.
Yeah, but I was just saying, the Broncos had 73 plays on offense to the Chiefs. 23, 24, 25, 33, 39, 43, 46, 47. God damn. So the Chiefs scored 43 points in about half as many plays as it took the Broncos to score 16. You know that's a problem. Jesus Christ. God damn. And Mahomes didn't really do nothing. 15 to 23, 200 yards. Le'Veon Bell, 6 carries, 39. Le'Veon Bell's back. Edwards-Helaire, I told you. Edwards-Helaire is that dude. 8 carries, 46 yards. He controlled the game. Hardman was the receiver. Was a nice little touch. Tyreek the Freak. It's typical Kansas City. That's really all you got to say about that. Nothing much.
All right, so next up we have the Jacksonville Jaguars got smoked by the Chargers.
We called this one. Me and you called this one. We said that, listen, Justin Herbert is playing balls to the wall. thanks to the guy that tried to kill Tyrod Taylor.
I believe he is Justin Herbert's third cousin.
Jacksonville was up at some point in this game because they were down by 9 in the first quarter. They came back, did 14 unanswered. Chargers came back and made it, and remade the game and retook the lead, and they never looked back after that. Gardner Minshew struggled this game.
Yeah, if you want to talk about teams that need one or two pieces to be relevant, that's the Chargers. Because this kid has a big arm. He's not afraid to go downfield.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the kid's a baller.
Yeah, he's not afraid to go downfield at all. Gardner Minshew, but the thing is, 14 to 27, 173, two touchdowns. He missed a lot of passes. They made him work for every single throw. Your boy Robinson, I call him Juice Robinson. I know that's not his name, but Juice Robinson, 22 carries, 119 yards running. They might have finally found a running back, but they need receivers, bro. They need receivers bad. I know DJ Chark is there, but he's not it right now. He needs another weapon. They needed somebody to go alongside of him. They got some dude named O'Shaughnessy. You know what I'm saying? Is it Seamus? Seamus O'Shaughnessy nigga?
No, he's not the wood arm guy from Family Guy.
It's a shame they lost their head. But Herbert is that dude. 347, three touchdowns. He even was the leading rusher on the team, too.
The dude's the baller, man.
Yeah. I like him. Keenan Allen, 10 catches, 125. I have no problem with Justin Herbert proving himself. I just felt bad that it came at the expense of Tyrod Taylor. But what can you do? It is what it is.
So Tom Brady has now won in every single stadium in the NFL.
That's right.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers went down and mollywopped the Las Vegas Raiders. Is Gronk back?
Oh, yeah. And I think he's gotten used to it now. See how Florida weather works? Florida weather, we're at this point, because even though they're in Vegas, right? So I think Gronk is good on the road. And I think now we're going to see a different Gronk because Florida is a different type of animal. It's not as humid in this time of the year.
Well, in the first 5 weeks of the season, he had 140 total yards. The last 2 weeks, he's had 140 yards and three touchdowns.
Yep. I want to say Gronk is back. But, dude, he's knocking on the door. He's ready to come back in. I need one more game to confirm back.
Leonard Fournette actually played in this game.
Yes. 11 carries, 50 yards. He brought some balance along with Ronald Jones. But Ronald Jones struggled in this game, not going to lie. But Fournette was the lead back in this game, 11 carries, 50 yards. But has Tom Brady found his Julian Edelman in little Scotty Miller? That's the question I got. Six catches, 109. Whoo.
Okay, so they are becoming an offensive powerhouse, and they just signed Antonio Bryant to a one-year deal, and Bruce Arians told Antonio Bryant
– Brown.
Be a team – Antonio Brown, my bad. Yeah. Brown. Be a teammate or get the fuck out.
I'm with it. Hey, listen, I think that's going to be the case. He's back working with Tom Brady again, though, so it's kind of one of those things that – dude, listen, peep game. So you understand where we're going to be in 2 weeks. Mike Evans, healthy Chris Godwin, Gronk, Scotty Miller, who's coming on the real strong. Calvin Brate, who's no slouch, is another slot receiver. And then you add Antonio Brown as a deep threat.
Along with the running core that they have.
What the?
This Buccaneers team is looking mighty dangerous. And the meme that I saw that cracked me up, they said Tom Brady is now Nick Fury and he's forming his own Avengers in Tampa.
Dude, this team, listen.
Not only that, they're the number one defense in the NFL. Number three against the rush, number five against the pass.
You know who this team is built to beat, right? Kansas City. They're built to go the distance against Kansas City. If they got to go against a shootout, look. Bear with me a second, okay?
Tom Brady has already dominated that defense many times.
Look, Scotty Miller, his average yards per catch was 18.2. Rob Gronkowski, average yard per catch 12.4. And I know he had the long one. I know that. Okay, I get that. Mike Evans, he had two catches. His longest catch, his average is 18.5. So he's getting the ball to his best receivers for guaranteed first down plays. That is a problem. That is a huge problem. I'm looking at this, and I'm just like, by the numbers, just by the numbers alone, this team is built to beat Kansas City. They're built to have to go blow for blow with a high-scoring team, a team that can get the ball out like the Rams and the Chiefs, and even the 49ers, like defensive-wise, like the go against them defensive-wise, defense to high-powered offense, they're a problem.
The scary thing is here, we are now 7 weeks into the season. Mm-hmm. This is where we find out what teams are for the majority. And Tampa Bay, what they are is a problem for everybody. And in fact, Stephen A. Smith, who questioned everything Tampa Bay did this offseason, came out today and said, this team is going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So I'm going to put it in perspective for people that are, you know, watching the show. This is what they have to deal with. They're 5-2, right? They have to deal with the Giants, the Saints, the Panthers, the Rams, the Chiefs, Super Bowl preview, the Vikings, the Falcons, the Lions, and the Falcons again.
This team gonna get a first round bye because the NFC is garbage. Tom Brady's going to be rested for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady and Gronk are going to be rested for the playoffs. They might just tear through the NFC.
That's what I'm saying, bro. I'm looking at it. Because I can feasibly see them winning easily the last four games of the season. Easily, without question.
The only challenge I heard right now with the way New Orleans is playing is Kansas City.
Yeah. So – well, let's count their five they got right now, the four at the end of the season, which is nine.
You're looking at like a 13-3 record at the end of the season.
Yeah, because I think they can beat the Rams at home. They can beat the Panthers, you know, on the road. That's 11. You got the Giants. That's 12. And it's either Saints or Chiefs. Saints or Chiefs is either going to be their next loss.
I think that they can beat the Chiefs and the Saints, to be honest with you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If Michael Thomas isn't back in 2 weeks, that's a dub. Easily. That's a guaranteed dub because there ain't no way that Saints defense is going to be able to compete. You see what happened, you know, when they had to go against a high-powered offense in the damn Raiders, and they had problems. Imagine having to deal with this.
And look what Tampa Bay – all right, and Kansas City, too.
Yeah.
Against the Raiders had problems.
They could easily
dismantle the Las Vegas Raiders. They made the Las Vegas Raiders look like a freshman football team.
So it's either depending on how Michael Thomas comes, it's either going to be that game or the Chiefs. But the Chiefs game is at home,
which, like I said, the Chiefs have been struggling against certain defenses this year, and that Buccaneers defense is fucking fantastic.
And I'm willing to bet you. I want to bet you that Tampa Bay is not even going to go 100%. Not 100% in effort, but 100% of their playbook when they play the Chiefs because they're not going to expose themselves in case they have to run it to the Super Bowl.
Antonio Brown will be on the team at that time.
Antonio, by the time they play the Saints.
It's one more week. He's got one more week till he's eligible.
Yeah, because they play the Bucs. And then they're playing the Saints on us on next Sunday. Not this coming Sunday, next Sunday. And then you already know they got the Jesus Christ.
You're looking at a 14-2, 13-3 squad that's gonna run through the NFC playoffs. And I'm gonna say it, Tampa Bay might get Tom Brady a seventh ring this year.
Dude, it's looking like it, and they have the benefit. It's looking like it, and they have the benefit of not having to play a running team like the 49ers, a scrappy little team like the Seahawks. They don't have to play outside the NFC East garbage that they've already played. they will play in the Giants. They don't have to worry about none of that stuff. They're gonna run roughshod through the rest of the schedule. I'm looking. I don't. And the majority of the games are at home. They're going to run roughshod.
They played all their away games early in the season.
Yeah, that's it. It's a wrap, dude. It's a fucking wrap. All right, so shout out to Tom Brady. Shout out for that win. I'm looking forward to them running roughshod through the rest of this fucking shit. So,
next up, we have the dismantling of the New England Patriots on Sunday. Cam Newton did not look good. The Patriots receivers did not look good. The defense did not look good. The offensive line did not look good. They just looked tired and defeated.
So you ever heard of what they call a total team loss? This what was it? Mm-hmm. Even when Cam Newton did look good, his receivers didn't look good. And even when his receivers didn't look good and were doing before they can even attempt to look good, his O-line didn't look good.
The only player on the Patriots receiving corps that showed up was number 16, who doesn't even play every week.
Yeah. That should scare you as a Patriots fan. I worry. So in the first quarter, New England held off San Francisco from doing any major damage. It wasn't until Jeff Wilson got really, really involved and they went run heavy in the second quarter that all these problems started to arise on the defensive side of the ball. Jimmy Garoppolo had two picks. Bill Belichick's defense worked for the most part. But at some point, it's like a dam. It's only going to hold so much water.
And this was the issue with Kansas City, the issue with Denver, the issue here with San Francisco, is the defense can only hold on for so long when the offense is doing nothing. The time of possession in the first half, the Patriots had the ball for 6 minutes. In the first half.
Yeah. The Patriots as a total only had the ball for 21 minutes and 37 seconds in the entire game. 6 minutes in the first half. That's that product of that Kyle Shanahan run your motherfucking ass.
And the fact that the Patriots were three and out almost every fucking drive.
Yeah. Cam Newton's
Jacoby Myers is who I was talking about, number 16.
Yeah. No, you're right. Cam Newton was only able to pass 15 times. I mean, from a mathematical perspective, 9 of 15 isn't bad, but 9 of 15, like, in the first quarter or maybe in, like, the first half, not over an entire game.
And a pick.
And three picks.
Yeah, the one to Edelman was the worst one because that bounced off Edelman's hands and straight up in the air. And, yeah, this was not a good game for New England. So – I congratulate the San Francisco 49ers for putting that whooping on us.
So, real quick, I know we don't want to dwell on it, but listen, you know who I felt bad for? You know who Bill Belichick felt bad for? Cam Newton.
Yeah, because he walked over and he's like, Cam, you don't have it today? We're going with Stid in the second half.
Yeah, well, they said, like, we don't have it today. That's just what it, like, we, for some reason, no matter what we're doing, we can't get it done. I don't want to kill you. And
everybody expected him to tear into Cam, but Bill Belichick understands that this was not Cam's fault. I don't give a shit what Patriots writers are saying, the fan base. The Cam Newton experiment is going to have its ups and downs. He was only with the team for a month before the season started. He got COVID. We do not know how that is affecting him going forward here because we really don't know what the fuck is doing. Yeah. The defense can only hold on so long. Other people on this offense, including when Sony Michel gets back, because Sony Michel has been having not that great of a year. In fact, Damian Harris is now the starting running back for the Patriots, a rookie. Rex Burkhead does what he can, but Rex Burkhead is only a situational back. He only plays when against certain defenses.
Yeah.
Tight ends on our team are trash. Asiasi has not played this season. Dalton Keene had his first catch in his game. And fucking Ryan Izzo has three fumbles this year.
Yeah. And you have to ask yourself, especially in the offense, and especially with Cam, you know how he leans on his tight end. If he can't get the ball to you, there's got to be a problem.
Yeah. It's one of those things that in this game, San Francisco took away Cam's running lanes. Mm-hmm. They took away the running lanes. The wide receivers, with the exception of Jacoby Myers, played like trash. N'Keal Harry got hurt. N'Keal Harry is, I believe, and I know I was high on him last year, is the worst route runner in the NFL. that was proven last week when he turned the wrong way and then tripped in that fourth down where he was wide the fuck open.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't go to the spot where Cam needed him, and he tripped, and people blame Cam for that. No, that is the wide receivers not doing their job.
And you know what upsets me about the whole N'Keal Harry thing? What really upsets me is that you guys could have had DK Metcalf.
We could have had DK Metcalf. We could have had Brandon Ayuk this year.
Yeah.
N'Keal Harry's former teammate.
I don't know what's wrong with N'Keal Harry. N'Keal Harry on paper had the most upside, so I understand why you would take him over DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
But listen, I said this was going to be a problem on the receiving end. I said we got problems with our injuries, but apparently the scheme – listen, Kyle Shanahan put on a coaching clinic, bro. Like on an offensive standpoint, run. It went, when the passing wasn't working, and yes, Garoppolo did 77 yards. He almost had 300 yards. But from a passing standpoint, I mean, for me, from a running standpoint and a coaching standpoint, dude, this was a clinic, bro. This was – run the goddamn ball. Oh, by the way, run the goddamn ball. Then that's just what happened. All right, so shout out to – like I said, shout out to the Niners. I'm proud of
them. I still think somewhere or another the Patriots will still end up in the playoffs this year.
Oh, no, I believe it. I think this is the wake-up call.
This is going to be – Belichick is going to have to – do Belichick things now.
Yeah. And Josh McDaniels is going to have to get fucking creative. Like, yeah. This right here, let me tell you something. If you have Cam Newton, you need to find creative ways to make your offense work. You have – he's not as super athletic, but he's a threat. You got to make him be that threat. I don't care if what he is or what he isn't. You got to scare people into fearing for their lives when Cam Newton's back there and he has the opportunity to run the ball.
We're not doctors. Like I said, he says the COVID thing is not affecting him, but we do not know.
No. We don't know. But that's what I'm saying, though. But the offense has been pedestrian. That's even with Brian Hoyer and Stidham. When they brought in Stidham, it's pedestrian. They need to open this sumbitch up. That's all I'm going to say. That's really all I can say. They need to open it up.
I agree. They need to play like they played Seattle.
Yep.
Open the fucking playbook up. Go out there and make some fucking plays.
Yep, exactly. That's it.
That was the last time this offense looked good.
Thank you. That's it. That's it on that one. All right, what we got
next?
Raiders
ain't shit, so I don't even count that game against the Raiders because they ain't shit. Next up, we had a wild game in Arizona. Seattle thought they had it, and then Kyler Murray happened.
Listen. We said this was going to be a problem. This is the one game that me and you said it was going to be a problem for Seattle. At home with Arizona, on the road against Arizona. Mm-hmm.
And this was the first time since 2012 Arizona has beaten Seattle at home.
Yeah, but it's something that we called though. We said that the eyes are lining up, and especially they did a lot of damage without DeAndre Hopkins. Last year, with DeAndre Hopkins, this year, 10 catches, 103 yards, one touchdown. Kyler Murray, 34 for 48, 360, three touchdowns, one interception. Kyler Murray was their leading rusher.
Got involved.
Yeah, Larry Fitzgerald, 8 catches. Remember what I said? I said they'll find a way to get Larry Fitzgerald involved in what? 8 catches, 162 yards. Dude, Edmonds, 7 catches, 87 yards. Christian Kirk had 2 touchdowns. Arnold had 2 catches for 57. That big ass run that he had.
So the Cardinals had 2 bad losses early.
Mm-hmm.
And that was due to the fact they lost like 4 key members of their defense the same week, including Chandler Jones, who's out for the season, your sack leader. Yeah. That affects teams. But what we see on the field right now is what I think the Arizona Cardinals – yes, Kenyon Drake got hurt. He's only going to be out for a couple weeks. But the backup running back played really well in his absence.
Yeah.
we talked about Russell Wilson and the Seahawks were struggling the last couple weeks against bad teams. Mm-hmm. This is a good team that walked in there, went to overtime, and beat Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and he had problems. Listen, a whole problem was Drake Kirkpatrick. A whole problem was Buda Baker. And the wily veteran Patrick Peterson was a whole problem too. That's one heck of a backfield when you do the math, bro. Like, Baker and Kirkpatrick are two – I think they're safeties. They're just, like, shutting shit down back there. You know Patrick Peterson is still a top-notch corner.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole problem. So, that's why we picked Arizona. We said they're at home, and they have problems against Arizona.
They held DK Metcalf to one catch.
Yeah.
One. Oh, let me rephrase that. DK Metcalf. Mm-hmm. One catch.
Yeah, I mean when DK Metcalf's lone highlight is that run where he tackled Buda
Baker 94 yards like a fucking gazelle downfield.
Mm-hmm. That tells you all you need to know. Shout out to Kansas. I mean, not necessarily Kansas City. Shout out to Arizona for winning that game. They did it. They did it. They really fucking did it. I'm really happy about that one.
Now for the last game of the evening. While we were recording Reacts last night, James said, man, fuck the Bears and they nonsense-ass motherfuckers.
Yeah. I just sat there. I'm like,
I told you the LA Rams are pissed off about what happened with San Francisco and they were going to beat the brakes off of the Chicago Bears.
Listen, I thought that the Bears, Nick Foles was going to look fairly decent. I thought that they had a chance. Boy, was I wrong. Jesus fucking Christ. You're right. The Rams did rammy things. Nick Foles looked like he was in Jacksonville. Zero touchdowns, two interceptions, going 28 for 40. Jared Goff comfortably going for 219 yards with two touchdowns. Cooper Kupp was a non-factor, but I think it's Jalen Reynolds. I think that's the name. I think that's who it is. I'm not sure. Yeah. Four catches, 52 yards and a touchdown. Everett with four catches, 28 yards and a touchdown. But, man, I'm looking at these Bears stats. You know what the Bears' biggest problem is? Everything. Montgomery didn't do good. Allen Robinson didn't do good. I don't know, because I don't even know. Nobody on offense got a touchdown. Let's just put it that way.
So the Patriots had a total team loss. So did the Chicago Bears.
Yeah. Total team loss, and there was no redeeming quality about this one. Matt Nagy, to me, I don't know. I don't like Matt Nagy. I don't think he lasts the season. If the Bears don't make the playoffs and they make this change, like if they make this change, basically destroy a number one pick and they don't make the playoffs, Matt Nagy's out of here, bro. It's a wrap. Well,
they should have drafted Patrick Mahomes and not Mitchell Trubisky. Anyway.
Why you got to be right all the time?
All right. So this Thursday night, we have a – not so hot matchup. We have the Atlanta Falcons at the Carolina Panthers.
The Atlanta Falcons, Carolina Panthers. Oh, boy.
And I think this is Christian McCaffrey's return game.
Yeah. Even if it wasn't, I'm taking Carolina because Atlanta's in such disarray, and Carolina really needs this more than Atlanta does to stay relevant in the playoff race.
Yeah,
I got to take Carolina in this one. I think they're going to want it more.
I am going to take Carolina also. I think that you got to go with the better all-around team here. We can't say better quarterback because Matt Ryan is a better quarterback than Teddy Bridgewater. But, yeah, the teams, the Falcons got major fucking issues.
They're the best one-win team in the NFL right now. That is what it is.
And if you think about it, with having double-digit leads in five games, they should be 6-1.
You're not lying. Not lying. They would be. We would be talking about the juggernaut Atlanta Falcons had they been winning the game. They would
have that monster matchup between Atlanta and Tampa Bay here in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Yes, we would. But instead, we got this. So that brings us to the end of our show. Big Sam, before we bounce about it here, let them know what the business is.
If you're over on YouTube, please like, comment, and subscribe. Hit that bell so you know when Overtime Sports is on. You know when Sinful Black Reacts go. In my opinion, we are the best goddamn reaction channel on the internet. Just nobody's seen it yet. Over on Facebook, like and follow Sinful Black Sports. We love y'all. Y'all always be holding it down. And Hollywood's been slacking on his highlight duties, so.
A Big Sin got me. I've been so caught up in other stuff, and I apologize, but Big Sin got me, took care of me. Much love. I'll make sure that the highlights are back up there. I even have World Series highlights for y'all, too. So don't worry about that. We're gonna get y'all taken care of.
But with that being said, that right over there is Hollywood J. Black. My name is Big Motherfucking Sin, and we are out this bitch. Deuces.
Bye.
Bye.